जय कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गिरिवर धारी। जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रजजन रंजन। जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रजजन रंजन। जय यमुना तीरवन चारी। जय कुंज बिहारी। जय यमुना तीरवन चारी कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Mishrapad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtvatara Shri Srimad Sistavan Gresethi Bhaktivanda Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Mishrapad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtvatara Shri Srimad Bhaktivanda Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Kodi Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakho Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Verse Number 1. Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu. Chapter Summary. The 17th chapter is summarized as follows. This chapter describes Chitraketu's receiving the body of an asura or demon because of joking with Lord Shiva. After personally talking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Chitraketu enjoyed life in his airplane with the woman of the Vidyadhara planet. Engaging in the congregational chanting of the glories of the Lord, he began flying his plane and traveling in outer space. One day while traveling like this, he wandered into the bowers of Sumeru mountains, where he came upon Lord Shiva embracing Parvati, surrounded by an assembly of Siddhas, Charanas and great sages. Seeing Lord Shiva in that situation, Chitraketu laughed very loudly, but Parvati became very angry at him and cursed him. Because of this curse, Chitraketu later appeared as the demon Vritrasura. Chitraketu, however, was not at all afraid of Parvati's curse, and thus he spoke as follows. Everyone in human society enjoys happiness and distress according to his past deeds, and in this way travels in the material world. Therefore, no one is responsible for his happiness and distress. One is controlled by the influence of material nature in the material world. Yet one thinks himself the doer of everything. In this material world, which is made of external energy of the Lord, one is sometimes cursed and sometimes favored. And thus, he sometimes enjoys in the upper planetary systems and sometimes suffers in the lower planets. But all these situations are the same because they are within this material world. None of these positions has any factual existence, for all of them are temporary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate controller because the material world is created, maintained and annihilated under his control, while he nonetheless remains neutral to these different transformations of the material world in time and space. The material, external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in charge of this material world. The Lord helps the world by creating situations for the living entities within it. When Chitraketu spoke in this way, all the members in the great assembly in which Lord Shiva and Parvati were presented were astonished. Then Lord Shiva began speaking about the devotees of the Lord. A devotee is neutral in all conditions of life, whether in the heavenly planets or hellish planets, whether liberated from the material world or conditioned by it, and whether blessed with happiness or subjected to distress. These are all merely dualities created by the external energy. Being influenced by the external energy, the living entity accepts a gross and subtle material body, and in this illusory position, he apparently suffers miseries. Although everyone is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, the so-called demigods consider themselves independent lords, and in this way they are misled from understanding that all living entities are part of the Supreme. This chapter concludes by glorifying the devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Verse 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Yajaschantarhitonantas. Tasye Kritva Dishe Namaha. Vidyadharaschitraketuh Chachara Gagane Charaha Yachaschandarhitonantas Tasye Kritva Dishe Namaha Vidyadharaschitraketuh Chachara Gagane Charaha Yatashchandar hito manantas Tasye kritva dishe namaha Vidyadharaschitra getus Chachara gagane charaha Shri Shuka vacha Shri Shuka Uvacha Yadaschandar Hito Nantas Tasye Kritva Dishe Namaha Vidyadhara Chitraketu Jachara Gagane Charaha Shri Shuka Uvacha Yatashchantar hito nanta Tasye kritva dishe namaha Vidyadharaschitra ketu Chachara gagane charaha Shri Shuka uvacha Tasye kritva dishe namaha Vidyadharaschitraketu Chachara gagane charaha. Word to a translation. Shri Shuka vacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Yataha, in which direction, cha and andarhitaha disappeared, anandaha, the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tasyai, unto that, Kritva, after offering, Dishe, direction, Namaha, obeisances, Vidyadharaha, the king of the Vidyadhara planet, Chitragetu, Chitragetu, Chachara, travel, Gagane, in outer space, Charaha, moving. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, after offering obeisances to the direction from which Ananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had disappeared, Chitraketu began traveling in outer space as the head of the Vidyadharas. verse 2 and 3. Salakshmam varsha lakshanam avyahata bilendriyaha stuyamano mahayogi munibhihi siddhacharanehi kulachalendra dronishu nana sangalpa siddhishu reme vidyadhara stribhir gopayan harimishwaram. Being praised by great sages and saints and by the inhabitants of Siddhaloka and Charanaloka, Chitraketu, the most powerful mystic yogi, wandered about enjoying life for millions of years. With bodily strength and senses free from deterioration, he traveled within the valley of Sumeru mountain, which is the place of perfection for various kinds of mystic power. In those valleys, he enjoyed life with the woman of Vidyadhara Loka by chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Hari. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is to be understood that Maharaj Chitraketu, although surrounded by beautiful women from Vidyadhara Loka, did not forget to glorify the Lord by chanting the holy name of the Lord. It has been proved in many places that one who is not contaminated by any material condition, who is a pure devotee engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord, should be understood to be perfect. Om Ajnanati Mirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadarupyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahadbhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shedeya Tamusha Purusha Bhungte Gunan Shodasha Shodasha Atmaka Sorankrishishtha Bhagavan Vacham Sime. Hare Krishna. Here we can see the later life of King Chitraketu Maharaj, who after getting the audience of Lord Sankarshan received the benediction of being the head of the Siddhas, head of the Vidyadharas. So immediately after offering obeisances unto the direction in which Lord disappeared, he moved on to Vidyadhara planet, and he could go to the outer space and he could travel everywhere. So this is something which is very astonishing. Vidyadharas are known to have mystic powers. They can go anywhere. They can transform into any form. They can travel freely. They can assume any bodily features. They know what everyone is thinking. So they have all different kinds of mystic perfection. And he was in the realm where he could access any mystic powers that he wants. So this is the place, the Siddhaloka. There they have the ability to have all mystic perfections. And it is very natural for them. They can just fly. They can disappear, they can appear, they can assume any form. So this is very natural to them. So according to the planet and the situation where one is positioned, accordingly one obtains different abilities. Being the earthly planet, we can live inhaling oxygen. If you live in the water, then they inhale oxygen from water. So it depends on the body. It depends on the body, that's all. Even a powerful elephant cannot live inside the water. But a small fish can live inside the water. So it all depends on what kind of body one has and where it is suitable to live. So it all depends on that. That is the nature's arrangement. So here, when we hear about this Siddhas, this Vidyadharas, they have all these abilities very naturally. And they have the qualification to have those abilities too. Now here the most important point is that even though he had such opulence, even though he was surrounded by beautiful women, he had all the sense enjoyment at his disposal, still he was completely absorbed in hearing and chanting. So this is the point that is made. Srila Prabhupada makes in this purport, and Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur, he makes this point. He was absorbed in hearing about and chanting about the qualities of the Lord. So this is very unique, and this is something we have to learn from this purport, even the short purport. Chitraketu Maharaj, as a Vidyadhara, was able to completely be absorbed in hearing and chanting despite, in one sense, unfavorable circumstances. Because if one is present in the allurement of all sense gratifications, it is very difficult to think about Krishna. However, here we can see that Chitraketu Maharaj was completely absorbed in Krishna. So here is the question. When we come to our practical life, we are faced with challenges and temptations. There are challenges. There can be financial challenges, health challenges, social pressures, demands from the children. There can be many kinds of challenges that we may have to deal with. On the other side, there are allurements of sense gratification. So we have these two things which are simultaneously present in front of us. On one side, the mind is telling, enjoy the senses. There are so many difficulties. Take shelter of sense gratification. On the other side, the difficulties in itself can be very draining. So for a practicing devotee, can always feel these pulls from both directions. One from sense gratification, other from the suffering of this material world. Maybe all different kinds of challenges and responsibilities. And here, how can one be absorbed in Krishna despite difficulties or despite allurements? So this is a challenge that is faced by all of us, because we are sadhakas. We are trying to be practicing devotees, and we are not perfected devotees, so we find it difficult. Here is an example of a perfected devotee, who is Chitraketu Maharaj. He didn't have such a problem. Even though he had strong senses, even though he had material allurement, still he was completely absorbed in Krishna. And Prabhupada says this is an example of pure devotion service, and this is an example of a perfected devotee. Now please consider advanced devotees within ISKCON. We are practicing devotees, we are aspiring devotees, but consider advanced devotees within ISKCON. Do they have challenges? Do they have to face with difficulties? The answer is yes. If they are in responsible positions, they have different kinds of challenges. They have managerial pressures. They have responsibility towards their disciples if they are gurus, or responsibilities towards their followers. There are preaching requirements, demands. There are health challenges. Many decisions that they make are going to directly impact lives of many devotees. Can you see the pressure for a leader in ISKCON, especially as one goes high? There are a lot of pressures. Still, are they able to be absorbed in Krishna? How are they maintaining their Krishna consciousness? So this is a very important point. So here I'll mention 3 points in this regard. First one is quality of chanting. Second one is quality of reading and hearing. And third is their proper Vaishnava dealings. So I'm talking about the very basics. There are more to it, but these are the very basics. Despite the difficult, challenging, demanding routine, advanced devotees are able to maintain good quality in their chanting. They are not compromising their chanting. Second, they are absorbed in Shastra. They are able to hear and they are able to read. And third, they have proper Vaishnava dealings. So here, I'll talk about one or two points here because they are very relevant in this month. Why are they relevant? Because this is the month of Kartik. Kartik month belongs to whom? Yes, Kartika Devi. One of the names of Srimati Radharani is Kartika. So it is her month. So this is a Kartika month. So this is the month of Kartika. It is her month. And so she is very, very merciful. And she wants to give so much of benedictions to devotees. And so any devotional service that we perform in this month gets 1,000-fold benefits. So that is a speciality of this month. And this is a month one has to increase one's hearing and chanting. This is a month of absorption in Krishna. This is a month for rejuvenation in Krishna consciousness. Hence, we have to take this month very seriously. On the other side, if we do something negative in this month, we get negative results as well. So this has two sides to it. So it is both sided. On one side, one is greatly benefited, but if one performs sinful activities, then one get very serious reactions. So we have to be careful in this month of Kartik, and we have to take the opportunity to increase our hearing and chanting. Regarding chanting, I will share a few points which I heard during our COVID lockdowns. Because during COVID lockdowns, there was this wonderful Japa workshop done by Mahatma Prabhu. And I attended those workshops online. And I found that they were very, very useful. A few sessions, and they were very useful. Very practical. And they can really be applied in our life. So I'll share a few points about chanting to start with. One, he mentioned that first step in chanting is unplug your life. Meaning, when we are trying to sit and chant, first get out from other aspects of life. We have many aspects of our life. There are many facets to our life. Unplug from that. But if we are really plugged into our work, our family, our responsibilities, it is very difficult to focus on chanting. So step one is, okay, I will deal with them after my chanting. This is the time for chanting. I am not going to benefit in any way by thinking about any other things while chanting. So the step one he mentioned, and it was very useful, unplug. Meaning, while sitting, we had to be conscious before chanting. Next, in this regard, one has to be mindful that chanting is in sattugun, in the mode of goodness. If we are engaged in rajasic or tamasic activities while chanting, or before, it is difficult to chant properly. So chanting is in Sattagun, in goodness, means one has to be present. There has to be presence in chanting. And of course, we have to create the right mood of connection to Krishna before chanting. Understand, acknowledge what we are doing. The reason is, chanting in itself is worshipping the deity. Because chanting is worshipping Lord in the form of holy name, Namarupa. The Lord in the form of the holy name. And hence, it is like deity worship. And in the deity worship, there is always Bhuta Shuddhi prayers. This point mentioned by Sachinandan Maharaj also in his Java workshop. Bhuta Shuddhi means establishing oneself in one's constitutional position. So one is chants a prayer and establish oneself in the constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. So that's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Naham vipro na narabadir nabhi vaishyo na shudro naham varni na grahabadir no vanasto yadirva kindu prodhyan nikhila paramananda purnamada abdher gopi bhartu padagamalayor dasa dasan dasaha. This is our constitutional position. So this is a prayer by Lord Chaitanya. Naham varni na narabadir. I am not a brahmachari. I am not a grihastha. I am not a sannyasi. I am not a vanaprastha. I am not a brahmana. I am not a kshatriya. I am not a vaishya. I am not a shudra. So that is the meaning of first two lines. Then what he says? So I don't belong to any varna or ashram. Who am I? Gopi bhartu pada kamalayor dasa dasanu dasaha. Gopi bhartuhu. Bhartuhu means of the husband. Who's Gopi's husband? Pada kamalayor, that is Krishna. Krishna's lotus feet. Dasa, 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 and dasa. I am servant of the lotus feet of Krishna. That is my position. So Lord Chaitanya makes it very clear, who are we? Many times this question is asked, who am I? That's a big question, right? Who am I? What is my identification? Yes, the initial answer is one can say, I am spiritual. I am the soul. I am the source of consciousness, etc. But that is not the ultimate answer. What is the ultimate answer? Gopi bhartu padakamalayor dasa dasanu dasa. I am a servant of Krishna, who is the husband of gopis. That is our constitutional position. That is the constitutional position of everyone. So this is establishing oneself. Okay, who am I? And that is the point one can actually start chanting. So one is bringing the consciousness from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness as a servant of Krishna. When we take chanting as a ritual, the mentality in itself is offensive, isn't it? I have to get rid of it. That is the kind of mentality we may have. I have to somehow or other get 16 rounds done. So this is not the right consciousness of chanting. Of course, it is good for chanting. At least it's better than not chanting. But that's not the best consciousness. It's just an obligation or a duty, which is good. It's a beginning point to see chanting as a duty. But that's not the highest aspect of chanting. So rather, chanting is not a ritual, but it is a relationship. So chanting is our relationship with Krishna. So chanting is the relationship of ourself, the spiritual self's relationship with Krishna. Because when we consider it as a ritual or a duty, one may feel that this is a kind of an obstacle which I have to get rid of. So in that way, that is not the right consciousness. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that just with external consciousness, one cannot capture the holy name of Krishna. One thinks that, okay, I'm chanting 16 rounds. In that way, one cannot capture the holy name. One cannot capture Krishna. The holy name has to reveal himself, the real form, the qualities, the pastimes, etc. In other words, we are dependent on the mercy of the holy name. That's why the holy name is addressed as Nama Prabhu. And so, in chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one way to get over wrestling with the mind is by establishing an emotional connection with the holy name. So this is a very important point that I found, which we experience ourselves when we keep chanting. That initial chanting is wrestling with the mind. Have you experienced wrestling with the mind while chanting? Mind is going everywhere and just trying to bring back. This is a one-on-one wrestling with the mind. And we can really experience this wrestle, this match. It is taking place. We can really experience like a tug of war. Right? We went to the farm and we did this tug of war competition, right? The big rope and, you know, two sides pulling each other, you know, just all strength. So this is how we do. If you are sincere, we chant as a tug of war, wrestling with the mind. So the wrestling continues as long as the emotions haven't surfaced. So what is that emotion? If we chant prayerfully, it is a beginning of emotion. What is that? We pray, look, I can't do this by myself. I am struggling to hear my chanting. I need help. Pray to the holy name. I need some help in hearing the holy name. This is very good, because what is the recommendation of Lord Chaitanya? Trinathapi sunichena taroriva sahishnana. So the humility is the ornament. Humility is the basis of chanting, attentive chanting. And so, being humble, I can't do myself. I need help. So asking for help, begging for help, is certainly the quality of humility. So with this, one can see if we are humbly praying, if we struggle in our chanting, and which we do, we can see that then the magic happens. We get helped. We get some help. There's a call center. Right? Okay, daily help. Okay, you dial this number, you press this number, you get the help. There's somebody sitting. The same principle we can see even while chanting. If we beg for help, we get help. There is a 24 hours, 7 days a week help desk is available. So if we can access that help desk only if we have humility. So humble prayers can definitely help. And if we get help, chanting becomes much easier. So wrestling is the first step, but along with wrestling, we need to be mindful to pray to the Lord. Be humble and pray. And in that way, one becomes more emotionally connected. So in chanting, as we keep chanting, when it becomes more emotionally connected, or in other words, if something happens to our mind while chanting, then the chanting becomes much easier. Have you noticed that? If you feel a bit of connection to Krishna while chanting, you feel chanting become much easier. Otherwise, it's like bumpy. You know, it's like riding a bumpy road. You know, it just goes up and down. Chanting is so difficult. But as soon as if there is an emotional connection, it becomes much easier. It becomes smoother. So this is something we need to understand. And this is something we need to understand even while reading Bhagavatam. We can read Bhagavatam in a very analytical fashion. I do that as well. Analyzing, okay, what's happening, what are the main points, this is what is said, this is what's happening. Yes, that is a good way of looking at it. But there is another aspect also, that is feeling it. When we read Bhagavatam, we're feeling it. Okay, there's an exchange of emotions that are taking place in Bhagavatam. These are devotees and here is the Supreme Lord. And how the waves of emotions are hitting the shore. That we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are many ways of looking at it in Bhagavatam. Even in Bhagavad Gita, one can see analytically in terms of emotions how things are going on in Bhagavatam. It is very important, especially when we read many chapters. Here we can see the flow of emotions, even in this chapter. Chitraketu Maharaj laughed at Lord Shiva because his wife, Mother Parvati, was on his lap and he was surrounded by great yogis and siddhas, a situation which is unseen. And what was Lord Shiva doing? He was speaking Bhagavatam, he was speaking about the Supreme Lord while his wife was sitting on his lap. So it can look like a lusty situation. Lord Shiva was completely on the transcendental platform. He was not affected by lust at all. Chitraketu Maharaj, he was a pure devotee. So he laughed aloud seeing this kind of a contradictory situation. Nothing happened to Lord Shiva. He took it easy. But Mother Parvati took it very seriously and she cursed. And Chitraketu Maharaj, he was unaffected by the curse. Rather, he told the philosophy. Look, happiness and distress are part of life, but I am fixed in serving the Supreme Lord. So he accepted the curse. Even though he had the ability to counteract, he didn't do that. So we can see the exchanges in this pastime. Everything based on serving Krishna. Everything based on pure Krishna consciousness. So one can use the analysis to fix our mind emotionally on Krishna. So in the same way, one can see that while chanting holy name, one can use one's emotions. Similarly, second aspect I mentioned about being fixed in Krishna consciousness is absorption in chanta, in shastra, in hearing and also in reading. So one aspect of reading is one can see what's happening, one can see analytically, one can see what is present, what are the main points, etc. Second is experiencing them. One is actually feeling for it. There are two aspects at least. And both are very important. And the third one I mentioned is proper Vaishnava dealings. When we deal with advanced devotees, we see that they don't criticize. It's a great aspect of devotees. They don't criticize anyone. Even though they have to correct someone, they do correct. And if they have to tell a point which is negative about someone for a reason, that they don't make in the public, but in a circumstance, they make it very carefully and very gently. There is not even an element of blasphemy. Or there is no spirit of enjoyment in criticizing. Because one aspect of criticism is there is a spirit of enjoyment. Tend to enjoy criticizing someone. Tend to enjoy finding fault in others. So they are freed from that. That's why in Nectar of Instruction, a quality of the devotee is mentioned as Nindadi Shunya Hrida Ipsida Sanghalabdhya. There are, association with different kinds of devotees mentioned. The quality of the most advanced devotee is, one, he is fixed in Krishna consciousness, and on the other side, Nindadi Shunya. Ninda means blasphemy, criticizing. Nindadi, all these negative qualities, starting from criticism. Nindadi Shunya, they are devoid of that. Hrida. Nindadi Shunya Hrida. Their heart is devoid of these negative qualities. Then what is meant? Sangha Labdhya, Sangha, get their association. How? Get their association by serving them, by hearing from them, and following their instructions. So we can see, even the advanced devotees, their chanting is fixed, their reading is fixed, and they have proper Vaishnava dealings. And these three things we had to practice in this month of Kartik. This is a time to increase our hearing and chanting. So consciously attempt to do these things properly, which will be of great benefit. In this regard, there is a very beautiful verse from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, from the 8th chapter. This pastime is the name-giving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram. First 20 verses of the 8th chapter, first 10 verses describe reception of Gargamuni by Nanda Maharaj in Gokul. After that, Gargamuni performs the name-giving ceremony of Krishna. A very beautiful pastime. Very, very interesting Vaishnava dealings we can see in this pastime, where Gargamuni reveals many things about Krishna and Balaram, but in a very concealed way. He mentions Krishna is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. He mentions he had many names, many pastimes. He talks about Balaram. He gives three names to Balaram: Bala, Rama, Sankarsana, etc. Krishna is given two names. One is Krishna, and also he is known as Vasudeva, and in a very careful fashion, mentioning that he is actually the son of Vasudeva. So, very carefully, in some births, he has taken birth as a son, as the son of Vasudeva. So, he is also known as Vasudeva. So, very carefully mentions many things. But at the same time, he didn't want to reveal everything as an outburst. Nor he wanted Nanda to know the supremacy of Krishna, so that he was afraid that the loving sentiments of Nanda may reduce knowing the Aishwarya of Krishna. So everything is mentioned, but everything is not mentioned. So such a careful presentation by Gargamuni. And in here, Gargamuni speaks this verse, which is very interesting, because it is about absorption in Krishna. Ya etasmin mahabhaga preeting kurvanti manavaha Narayo abhibhadyetan Vishnupakshan ivasaraha. He mentions, demons cannot harm the demigods who always have Lord Vishnu on their side. Similarly, any person or group attached to Krishna is extremely fortunate, because such persons are very much affectionate towards Krishna. They cannot be defeated by demons like the associates of Kamsa or by the internal enemies, the senses. So if we develop affection for Krishna, then we are protected from internal enemies like lust, anger, etc., and the demands of the senses. So here the solution is developing attraction for Krishna. And that is only possible by hearing, chanting, serving. And this month is for that purpose. And so, by engaging in the positive activities of Krishna consciousness, of hearing and chanting, as we described, one can control these negativities. One can control the enemies of the mind. We can keep them at distance. So this is the only way. And Kartik month is for that. And so we need to take it seriously. Understand the prayers that we are chanting. Dhammadharashtakam prayers are the read and understand the meaning. What is it all about? Offer the lamp for the Lord and increase hearing and chanting. So this is what I was intended to speak. So here in this verse we can see that Chitraketu Maharaj glorified Krishna purely by hearing and chanting, despite he had all mystic perfections, despite he was in the association of beautiful women, despite he had all facilities for sense gratification. He was not affected by them. Rather, his mind was completely absorbed in Krishna. And that's what we can aim for this month of Kartik. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
I've got two questions. First one is, there might be times where we might have some good chanting, where the mind is kind of at ease and we can feel like we're connected to Krishna. So we can feel very proud when we have those kind of chanting moments. But recently I heard someone ask Devamrita Maharaj if in those moments when you actually feel proud of having good chanting, Is that something, you know, appropriate to have that attitude? And he said that's simply hallucination. So,
okay. So first point question is, sometimes we chant good rounds, then whether we can take pride.
Yeah.
Is that the point?
Yeah.
We had to see it as mercy of Krishna. Because the moment while chanting, if you think I am chanting good rounds, you know what happens? Chanting good rounds, I'm doing well. It happened to me. What happens immediately? It's just gone. Good chanting is gone pretty much straight away. Mind can, if you think that we have become an expert chanter, that's it. We cannot become expert chanter. We are serving the holy name. So one has to be very careful when these kind of thoughts are coming. If I'm chanting, if you think, okay, chanting is going good, pray to Krishna, help me, it's your mercy. Because we know the mind can flip any point. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take any effort for the mind to go other way. That's why mind is not in our control. Only by the mercy of the Lord we can control the mind. By our strength, we cannot control our mind. Because mind is an energy of Krishna. Mind is an energy of Krishna and it is in His control, not in our control. So if a devotee is able to control the mind, means the Lord is allowing that to happen by His mercy. Yes, certainly advanced devotees have full control over their mind because Krishna has sanctioned, allowed their endeavor and Krishna's mercy. So two.
Okay, thank you. And the second question is, I remember reading the Lilamrita when they were at the stage of constructing the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, and I think it was Kandara Swami who was managing the construction, and he approached Prabhupada and told Prabhupada that he was having trouble chanting his rounds because of the actual service of constructing the temple, because there was a lot of managerial pressures and responsibility. And I believe, if I remember correctly, Prabhupada just told him to continue doing your service. So how do we understand Prabhupada's kind of...
Yes. So here we had to be very careful that there has to be balance. There can be time where service is the most important. And so one may not have a lot of time for sadhana. It doesn't mean that we compromise our 16 rounds. Not in that sense. But some other aspects of sadhana may be compromised for a short period. And then one has to come back and one has to do it properly. One has to again recuperate from lack of proper sadhana. So it has to be balanced. The Prabhupada never said, you know, you don't need to chant, just do service. There are many other circumstances where Prabhupada asked devotees, how is your chanting? Or in one temple, I forgot which temple, one Mataji was there. She was senior Mataji that time. So not very senior, in her 20s. But she was senior among others. Okay, are you chanting your 16 rounds? So she said, no, busy with services. Then Prabhupada was very upset. Prabhupada said, she is a senior devotee. She herself is not chanting every day 16 rounds. Then what do you think about other devotees? What kind of management is that? So Prabhupada said, management means it's time for proper hearing and chanting. So there has to be hearing and chanting. Otherwise one will not be able to continue one's Krishna consciousness. So it has to be balanced. So there are, at times there can be service pressures. We don't compromise our 16 rounds. But sometimes reading and hearing can be compromised. And then after that we have to compensate and we have to feel nourished. It is very important to feel nourished in Krishna consciousness. If not, ask for yourself or talk to a devotee more senior to you and find out, why am I not feeling nourished? What is lacking? Take that on, then you feel good. Just like there can be deficiencies of B12, vitamin D, C. People say, okay, I'm deficient. Yes. So we go to the doctor, find out, okay, this is a deficiency. Take the tablet or the footstep, what is required, we feel good. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, sometimes chanting quality is not good. Okay, work on that. Reading is not happening properly. Work on that. morning program is not happening, work on that. Or the one is not doing sufficient service, work on that. In this way, or no preaching, one is not getting any enthusiasm, no preaching, work on that. So like that, we need to be nourished. And it's very practical. We know that there are only a few things that we are that can lack in us. So work on that. Yeah, thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other final question? Or? Okay, good. Granthrashimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.